All right, guys, welcome to the Toddcast. It's Thursday. It's a little after 8. It's that time again where you get to hang out with two of your favorite people in the whole world. Or at least one of them, but we won't know which one that is.
Wow.
Everybody's got a favorite, a I think. Start. I mean, everybody's got a favorite. They should, at least. Yeah. I don't know. No.
Just forewarning everybody that I might get cut out. Because we're currently going through a tornado going on in my area right now. So.
Oh, yeah. There's cars that are literally floating down the street in my area right now.
Nice.
Because of how much rain we got. Yeah, it's not good. So be safe out there. Hopefully you're not, trying to watch this while you're driving through it.
They're talking about what the biggest El Nino in the history of the world coming up here. So, yay. For all those who don't believe in science and environment,
what the rapture?
Here's your sign.
What the rapture? Here's the rapture. Was waiting for it. Actually, speaking of that, I just so today was my day off, and I was like, I really don't want to do anything. So I mowed the lawn in the most stupid heat earlier today. By the time I was done, I was like having a hard time breathing. It was so fucking hot.
Oh yeah.
It was humid today. Yeah, it was super humid. It sucked. I was like, I'm just going to watch some random documentaries and stuff. So I found two of them. The first one was this 5-part series about the popes, like the history of the pope. And it was actually very good, except, it also reminded me like, oh, yeah, we really had some really shitty popes back in the day. But then we had some really good popes, too. And then it talks about, like, the fun one was they'd had a whole episode on John Paul II. And, they talked about how he, helped, stop the Cold War, but then he was kind of a bigot. So, he's, they're making him a saint, and I'm like, okay. But then they talked about how, Francis was the first Jesuit, and, how he, was completely different than everybody else and is, open for everything, and it's kind of cool. And then it immediately following that, there was one called Finding Jesus, and I was like, then it was fact, fiction, and fabrication, right? So it talked about, things that are real that the people have been carbon dating to try to figure out if they actually came from his time and stuff. And there was actually some pretty cool episodes. Like one was all about Mary Magdalene, which was cool. One was all about James's brother, which people don't realize. Yes, he had siblings. There was a couple, there was one about Judas and then the gospel of Judas that no one ever talks about. And it kind of changes your entire perspective of Judas, which was kind of interesting. And one was John the Baptist, which was really cool. And I'm as a recovering Catholic, it was kind of nice to dive back in for a minute, but not be fully immersed. There were parts where they carbon dated what they thought was a finger bone of John the Baptist, but it was not from that. It wasn't even old enough to be his. It was 200 years too new or something. It was crazy. So, but it was still a very cool thing to watch. It's on HBO if you guys aren't checking that out. Speaking of HBO, Lanterns is still kicking ass. That last week's episode was a very cool deep dive into John Stewart's past that we never really got in the comics before, because he was always kind of the amalgam of, or not the amalgam, the Enigma Lantern, because no one really knew what to do with his backstory. And this was very, very cool because it talked about how his dad was actually offered the ring first, and his when he asked when the ring asked, "Are you afraid?" he said yes, and then the ring went off to John or to Hal Jordan because of that. And you know they talked about like the guardian a guardian came to see his wife, and she explained to him like, duh, black guy in America, are they afraid? Always. So then John was like an infant at that point, so they raised him to not be afraid ever, and that was kind of the thing. And it was a very great episode, like how they morphed that into how he all of his training led up to this point where he is now being interviewed to be a Green Lantern. I thought it was a hell of an episode and really well written. So go check it out, guys. It's
And
really good.
boy, did the internet explode with the woke term about that episode.
Well,
I have
they
to.
talk about the only woke term they used was they talked about how they like it's when his mother actually says to the Guardians like, "Don't you understand how white privilege works?" And or something to that effect. Like she actually uses the term white privilege in it,
Privilege, yeah.
and that's why everybody blew up about it. It had nothing to do with the fact that the story was actually really well written. They just were pissed off that they used one single term, and if they had not used that one single term, they still would have not. They would have not complained at all because it was a well-written episode. So,
Well, they would have still. Again, these are the same guys that complained about She-Hulk being She-Hulk, like to the letter,
yeah.
and the Marvel. It's the same gatekeeping. Like she says, white privilege. I guarantee you click on any of the people that were complaining, like that I've seen, every one of them is the same kind of dude. And it disgusts me a little bit. Like I just wish people would like grow up or do your research. Like this is on par with his story, pretty much. This is why he is the
Well,
way he is. And it's,
sort of, because we never actually got this far into his backstory, so this is actually, but it makes sense to
sense.
lead
Yeah, it
him to be
fits.
this the vibe that he is, which his vibe is correct. And there were people that were saying like, "Oh, Hal Jordan's a racist." I'm like, I don't think so. I don't
No,
think he was
that has
ever.
nothing to
I
do
don't
with
think he
it.
was ever
No.
inherently a racist. I think Hal Jordan was very protective of being a Green Lantern, and that was what that was. It was, it wasn't, "Oh, you were supposed to pick your dad over me, and now they're picking you, and now you're gonna be my trainee because your dad got overlooked and they trained you for this." It was more like a, "I didn't have any training. How come you got training and I didn't?" Like it was more jealousy of that than anything else. That's my opinion though. Whatever. But Hal was always kind of a dick, so that was the
It's
thing.
and it's kind of like any iteration of Hal Jordan is pretty much kind of like that.
Yeah.
It's animated verse, like everybody who's ever played him, like the attitude he always gave off was kind of standoffish to a degree. But
Yeah.
he always, he always has been.
Yeah.
But and I'm not even like a hardcore Green Lantern follower, but that's the vibe that he always came out in Justice League, in anything. It's that's the way he's always been portrayed. Just like
Yeah.
Batman's always been portrayed as kind of a brooding,
Yeah.
loner. And that's
Yeah.
exactly who Batman is. He's
Yep.
always been that way. It's, it just kills me that the non-comic book people or the people who use the movies as their intro to comics don't get that. Guess what? There's source material. There are
Yeah.
decades of source material with any character,
Yeah.
any character. And they always are like, well, this is just Hollywood, doing their, trying to push an agenda. Maybe to a degree, there is a smidgen of that, but most of this stuff was around well before Hollywood decided to pick this stuff up. Well before this stuff. It's not all smashing heads and rescuing damsels or rescuing the world. There's a lot of stuff in between. And if you read anything, like, I love how, like, I'll just take Wolverine, for example. Wolverine is always perceived as, oh, he's just a tough guy that just beats people up in bars, drinks a lot, smokes a lot, and he's just feral. And anybody who reads some of the short series, there's more to him than that. There's a lot of trauma. There's a lot of stuff that he's had to deal with, depending on who wrote the story and what story you're going by. But there's more to just, I'm a tough guy with a cigar in my mouth that can slice you in two. There's a lot more to him than that.
I definitely agree. Sorry, I just got another thing on my phone. It was about flash flood warning now. So if you're wondering why we called it duck and cover, there's your two things. One, big storm. Two, don't be a dick. Or else you're gonna have to duck and cover while Jon Stewart shoots at you, because that was a probably one of the best scenes in that whole episode. Was like where he's like waiting. He literally stayed there in the same spot for like 9 months to try to take out this guy as a sniper, and then Hal comes in and grabs the guy and flies him and drops him off to jail. And then he like and he but he fucks up John's mission, and therefore he gets a dishonorable di discharge. So that's how they're trying to put the like, are they mad at each other? Blah blah blah, that kind of crap. So, anyway, worked out. Anyway, great show. Great show. Keep it coming, guys. We got like another seven episodes, I think. Five or
I was going
six
to say, I
episodes at
think
least.
this
I think
weekend
it's five.
I will be watching the Nightfall, and I will give like a full thing on the Nightfall, because
Nice.
it's still not on HBO Max, which I don't get. All the DC stuff is on HBO Max except that, and it ticks me off.
What's this one on?
It's you have to buy it. You have to go on
Oh.
like I think
Well,
Fandango app is
so
the only thing
yeah,
you can
that's I mean
borrow
that's
from.
what they did with Supergirl for the first couple weeks, was you could buy it on Fandango.
Yeah.
But I imagine like but I think it's this week Supergirl's finally coming to streaming, regular streaming. So give it a give it another couple weeks and give it like a month and people will not pay for it enough.
Well, worst comes to worst, I'll just buy a physical copy too, because I actually
Well, there
want
you
a
go.
physical copy of it.
Yeah.
I don't trust it, the streaming services to not
Right.
carry it. We did have a couple of sad deaths this week. Not as catastrophic as last week. Thank God on that end. But we did lose Carla Jeffrey from the Disney Channel, one of the young Disney Channel talents, 33. So those who are fans of what she was in the was it Zombies and a couple other Disney Channel series that she was involved in. I don't think they've determined her how she died or why she died. So that's still being investigated or whatnot. But 33. And we lost Will Murray, 73. And those who don't know who that is, he is the co-creator of Squirrel Girl. He died. And that one kind of sucks a little bit, especially since Squirrel Girl has been gaining traction over the last, what, 10 years? Popularity wise, was it him and Steve Ditko created her, I believe, or
No.
co-creators?
She was like a, I want to say like a Roy Thomas. Because she
I
was
swear it said Ditko was the other co-creator, but I
of
could be wrong.
Squirrel Girl, because she was
Squirrel
in
Girl.
a, she was in a, her first appearance was like in a Marvel,
Is that Marvel Presents, I think, or
yeah.
I don't know.
Oh yeah, Steve Ditko, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, there we go. Okay,
It
I
was
got it
this
right.
Marvel Superheroes Volume 3.
Okay. So
It's
that's.
like the winter, or sorry, Volume 2, Number 8, the winter edition in 1991.
So, yeah. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
I guess he must have done that short in there, 'cause like I don't remember him doing anything in the 90s, but sure.
He was still involved there,
Yeah.
so that was a bit of sad, the Squirrel Girl. It took a while for her to get
Like some
I
hype,
want to
yeah.
say get kind of up there, She it's kind of the new wave of fandom there. It's her and Ms. Marvel and a lot of that
No,
younger generation of superheroes there,
people
like
liked her
popularity
before they
wise.
before Miss Marvel came out. She was already starting to rise up pretty good. She's been
Yeah.
fairly popular
Achieve.
since like the early 2000s. Or
Yeah.
sorry, early 2010s, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah, took her about 20 years to get kind of popular, and then because Miss Marvel didn't come around for like another 6 years, 7 years after that.
Yeah. But
So,
she's kind of with part of that group of the young superhero, that next
yeah.
generation. And
Well, she
it's
became
like,
popular when they did the Great Lakes Avengers, because that's when they put her on the Great Lakes Avengers.
you would
Actually, let
know
me
more than I
see.
did. I don't read a lot about her. Like the few books that I've read with her in it usually involve Wolverine, which that's kind of a creepy thing there because there was the indication that they were
Yeah.
an item at one point in time and she was very, very underage and he is obviously not. So
Yeah.
they
So
don't.
in In
That's like one of those
2005,
things.
2005, Dan Slott put her on a 4-issue mini of the Great Lakes Avengers.
Okay.
So that's where that came from, because that was like the technically Volume 2, I guess. Yeah, because
Yeah,
the
but
first
she.
one was like, I don't know, like 20 some issues, I think, and then the second one was like a 4-issue, and then there was like another 2 6-issues, I think. So,
Yeah, but she's always involved in the, like I said, always involved with that young Avengers crowd there. She does a lot of her own solo stuff too, but she's also no she's gotten huge popularity this year because of the Marvel set Magic, because she is probably one of the best cards for Commander right now, especially if you play a Squirrel deck.
yeah.
And it is, and her card, and that card is insane.
Well, when they were talking about doing a New Warriors TV show, she was they were talking about having her, and they actually filmed a pilot, and the girl from the AT&T commercials, she actually was the one that was supposed to play her. And
That wouldn't
like
have been a bad choice.
There's pictures of her dressed like it, like in costume, and it looks awesome. And
Nice.
But it didn't get picked
Yeah,
up.
it never
So,
happened. Yeah.
yeah.
But,
Anyway.
it's what? We got what? Another trailer for Avengers. Which this kind of gives you a little bit more detail who's going to be involved in this battle. A lot more X-Men involvement there, which I'm down with. You get a little bit more of the that there, but other than that, it's been kind of quiet on the pop culture end there.
Well,
It's
Dragon Con's this weekend, so I'm sure we'll have some more stuff to talk
oh, I'm
about next
sure
week.
that'll
So,
it'll hit. But yeah,
Yeah.
we've kind of everything's kind of on that quiet end until probably, like you said, Dragon Con. What, New York's coming
Then
up
the New York
here.
and Baltimore, yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah, those will
we'll
be the
get some
next ones.
more announcers there. You and me will be at both. We will
I won't be
both
in New
be,
York. I'm
well,
not
you'll
going.
be for the retailer part, right? You said
I'm
you're
not going.
going.
No,
Okay.
I'm not. I'm not going. I
Okay.
thought about it.
Sorry.
I just can't. I can't make it work. So.
Okay. So you'll send me to the retailer then, like per
No.
usual, or no? Okay.
No. None of.
That'll be
No.
a
No.
first.
Yeah.
No.
None of
Okay.
us are going to the retailer. Like, no.
Okay.
If I
Well,
can't
I mean,
go, you
I will
can't
be there.
go.
Well, me representing New Dimensions, it wouldn't have been the
Oh.
first time you sent me,
I mean, if you happen to already be going up there, then yes, you can go there and use the company name, but I get all the books. That's how that works.
Well, and I do usually.
I know.
I gave you everything the last time.
I know.
The whole
I know.
shebang. It was literally a smorgasbord of so much garbage and
I
stuff.
know. And I took a picture of you with Todd McFarlane for you, and
Yep.
that was your exchange for it. It was
Yep.
great. So you were excited. You get to say hi to Papa Todd
Yep.
and ask him a question, and I'm pretty sure he put his
Yep.
arm around you, maybe made out with you a little bit. I don't know.
Oh,
Just so.
I didn't get, I don't think there was a picture of that. That would have been
Hey,
interesting.
there was video somewhere. but anyway. All right, let's talk comics. Because I don't want to accidentally go too long and have this storm freaking like kick back in and then lose power for one or both of us. So,
Yeah.
just in case.
So only two books for me this week, so
It's
we should
okay.
be
I got
quick.
three this time. We're good. All right. So my first book is Doom Patrol number one. This is by Darcy Van Poelgeest and Nico Hendrickson. And it starts out with Dr. Calder, or the Chief, as they call him, where he's like writing an entry in his Doom Patrol log, and he keeps seeing this girl who may or may not be one of his kids. And she kind of comes into his room while he's typing, and he sees himself dead later. Like every time. So then it cuts to Robot Man, Robot Man, Elastigirl, and Larry, who's Mr. Impossible? Mr. Impossible. No. Well, I can't think of his name. Anyway, it'll come to me. And they're like the Doom Patrol's kind of like been kind of shut down. So they're literally finding this old lady's cat. They found that it got hit by a car. So they take it to her. And while they take it to her, the professor calls them and is like, "Hey, I need you to come back." While Robot Man's in the pet store buying a new cat for the lady to say it's that cat. So they get to the lady's house. Larry goes in, hands her the cat. It's like, "Oh, it's Milo." And she's like, I'm mostly blind, but I can kind of see lights and stuff, and I swear it was aliens that took the cat." So he takes off his bandages, and she's like, "Can you see me now?" And he's like, "Yes, I see you, Larry. You're beautiful." And you just see it looks he almost looks like a ghost rider, right? So Last Girl takes the call. Chief wants to come back. Robot Man goes in after him. As Robot Man's heading in, giant spaceship shows up. So they start fighting the giant spaceship. They do a Cannonball special where Elastigirl like throws Robot Man with her giant elastic arm, and he flies into the inside of the ship, and it's a giant blob putty monster that's eating cats, which is ridiculous. So then, the Larry goes outside. And oh, Mr. Negative. That's what his name is. And he lets out the negative spirit, and it kind of goes and blows up the putty guy, and the like they're kind of like stuck there, like what the hell was this? And while Calder is dealing with this person that keeps coming to him, and she's like, will you help me? He's like, yes, Evelyn, I'll help you, even if it kills the Doom Patrol. And that is where the first issue ends. I thought this was well written. The art's really good. It's kind of got like a Robert Hack vibe to it, which I dig. I just wish it was more of the patrol instead of just the three of them or four of them. Cause like I love some of the other characters. You know, especially Danny the Street, but that's also a really awkward character to have all the time. But if Flex Mentallo shows up in here, I'm going to be super pumped. Anyway, book was very good. I'm going to probably check this out from now on. I'll at least give it two more issues because I want to see where it's going. And I am giving this Pantera's Walk. Because I just feel it fits the vibe of the book. So.
All right. We got X-Men 97 Season 2, Number 4. And it actually, you know, they try to do their best with this where they make it kind of the last time on X-Men. And that's actually what that first page is, where they do a quick synopsis of the previous issue, which I can appreciate them trying to keep it on theme with like being part of the actual series. And as you can see in the cover there, we see Wolverine, Morph, and Storm battling the Apocalypse robots. And Morph's like extra funny in this issue because he just takes on all these different forms. He's in classic Wolverine form. Then he turns into Giant Man, Goliath. He turns into Goliath. And we see like the first spark of Wolverine going completely feral, where he actually kind of gets caught up in his berserk mode. And it actually tries to go after Morph. And that's before Storm kind of brings him to his senses by throwing a icy wind chill at him. And it kind of knocks him back to his senses. And they discuss, you know, hey, we really have to get back to our time. And then we kind of get a more in-depth look at X-Force tracking down the Horsemen. Because we didn't really get a lot of this in the actual series. But, you know, they're in a town of basically cultists. Kind of like the first season where it was that town that all turn to humanoid sentinels. This is a town of humans that worship friggin' Apocalypse. So they're attacking Jubilee, they're attacking, you know, everybody in X-Force. They hold their own, of course, because, you know, humans versus mutants, it doesn't take much. But we do see, like, the recap of Apocalypse, and we get more detail about Apocalypse and the Externals romance, because I don't want to say, is it Pestilence? Yeah, Pestilence wants to marry Apocalypse, apparently, was the gist of what I got there. But as X-Force is fighting all the cultists, we get the other branch of worshippers and that is Exodus and his followers coming into the cultist town and demanding that, to see Apocalypse. And of course, Apocalypse forces that are there engage with Exodus. And that's the way this issue ends. So it's very kind of action-packed, a lot of fighting, but we get a little bit more detail of all the ins and outs of season two a little bit, which I really wish they did show this in the animated verse. I think it would have explained a little bit more, because this past season seemed to have too many jumps and not enough deep detail explanation of what is going on. How did we get from A to B? We skip from A to C with B completely not being explained. This is kind of filling in those gaps. So it was fun. I do enjoy the X-Men 97 series. And because of all the cult stuff going on, I chose Sir Ice by Ghost, which is actually a song about cultism. So
Interesting.
I know it's like, huh, I've never mentioned Ghost before, so let's throw some Ghost in there.
Fair enough. Right. My next book is Superman the Stranger, number one. And no, this is not about changing hands. So
Really?
this is a black label book, which means it's a technically like an Elseworlds Vertigo style book. So it's kind of like a Superman in like the 20s. Like he can't work at the paper anymore because they just don't have the money to do anything because they're getting bought out. So he ends up becoming a janitor at the Daily Planet. He was raised as an orphan or in an orphanage. He doesn't know that he's from Krypton. He doesn't know why he has powers. He just knows he has powers. He talks about like a kid picking on him before as his powers were developing. He talks about how he can barely like survive and eat. He's basically living on like peanut butter and jelly. He stops this dude from robbing these two other people, and he's obviously like a kid, and the people are like, "Oh, thank you. Here's some money for saving us." He's like, "No, thank you," even though it was like $100, and it would have been like a hell of a lot of money back then. So he's just kind of like coming into his own and trying to figure out his place in the world. And then Lex Luthor is kind of like a Rockefeller at this point. He's talking about how he is or he's talking to this other billionaire, and he's like, "No, you have to make this everything I've built happen, because we need to be prepared. Scientists will be in my employ, blah blah blah." So it's very good. It was done by Wes Craig, both the art and the story. I really dug it. The art's kind of interesting because it's like a little Art Deco-y vibe to it, which is cool. It read quick. The panels are vibrant as fuck. I super like this book a lot. No pun intended with the super like this book. My song for this book is Iron Maiden's Stranger in a Strange Land.
Nice.
Because he's a stranger in a strange land.
Right. No, this is, we did a Hellraiser last week, but that was the old stuff from the 80s. This is the brand new stuff being published by Boom now. And this is Clive Barker's Hellraiser Resurrection New Wounds. And it starts out where there's a guy that says he's a podcaster, and he's doing an investigation about the institute, the asylum from the 80s that all the original Hellraiser stuff occurred. And he's talking to who is left, because this is current times now. This is not the 80s. This is actual 2026. He talks to a Mr. Tellamore, who used to work there. And he's very old, very sick. And the podcaster starts asking him about, he shows him drawings of Pinhead and the puzzle, and he starts asking him questions. Well, as he's asking him these questions, Mr. Tellamore is, he's like, "I don't feel good." He starts coughing. And he's like, I think you should leave." And then his niece, who is kind of his caretaker, tells the podcaster that he should leave. Well, the podcaster's like, "Well, here, let me give you my card if you guys want to reach back out." He reaches into a satchel, pulls out a gun, and he kills them both. We find out this podcaster is basically a hired killer. And he kills them both, sets fire to the apartment, and leaves. He is hired by a Mr. Malthus, who's basically a rich a-hole. Typical, "Hey, I hired you to find out more information," and then scrub the people who do have the little bit of information about the puzzle, Pinhead, Cenobites. So basically, he hired this guy to scrub any knowledge of what's going on. And he talks to this podcast. We don't really get the pod this hired gun's hand name, so I just call him the hired gun. He basically says, "I hired you to do this because I also want you to be my second man, because once I he this guy has the brilliant idea that he's going to tame Pinhead and the Cenobites," which this never works out. You can't control otherworldly forces, no matter how rich you are. Does not work well. Basically, he gets betrayed by the hired gun, because the hired gun says he wants to feel. And what is Pinhead all about? Desire, sensation, feelings. So he plays with the box, opens the box up, but we find out this is not the OG box. This is another puzzle box that brings a different entity. And this is not Pinhead. This is a figure who looks kind of like he's on fire or molten lava kind of thing. He's doesn't quite have a true form, but he's like, "I devour everything." He's like, "I consume all." So basically, he is kind of, instead of giving pleasure or giving sensation, this one consumes everything. So, of course, the being kills the hired gun. Then he turns to Mr. Moltres, who's like, "Well, I have all these protective," he has all these protective wound, tattoos, runes, so to speak, to protect him. And the being's like, "Oh, these don't work with me, because you are protected against the high priest, aka Pinhead, but I am not that being." So of course he dies, and then the yacht that they were doing this ritual on gets burned to the ground, and that is the end of this issue. This was fun. I love that there are other beings, other boxes. As a big Hellraiser fan, I'm all down for this. I'm excited to see this. And I'm not big into a lot of horror comics, but I'm definitely gonna keep my eye on the other Hellraiser books, that original stuff that Boom puts out. And I chose for my song for this one, Dangerous by Def Leppard.
Okay. I was thinking Man in the Box, but
I feel like that's too on the nose.
it's all good. So my next book is the Spider-Woman Anniversary Special. This is by first story is by Anne Nesenti with Stefano Raphael as the artist. The second one is Dan Waters with Andrea Barcarado as the artist. The first one starts out where it's Jessica fighting a flying tiger in a pool. She's hanging out with this girl who's gonna go and tag, like, spray paint, vandalize, tag these buildings to try to win a chance to basically design on shoes, I guess. And her pheromones are all jacked up because the, like, super hot guy that's there doesn't want to fuck her, which is weird. She sees a bunch of there's a bunch of birds, and this one bird keeps stealing shit, like, was stole this button. And when she fought Tiger, like, she fights Tiger again, and he keeps telling her, is like, I didn't steal the blue diamond, I didn't steal it, I don't know why you keep yelling at me. So they take him away. She goes over to the person that's spray painting, because it's still illegal. The rope snaps, she grabs the girl, brings her down. She's busted her wrist, so she can't actually go and do anymore. So Jessica flies up and finishes the tagging, which is really hilarious. And while she's up there, she finds that one of those birds stole that diamond. So she took the diamond to the police, then goes and talks to the flying tiger, just like, yeah, sorry about that. Then they have a fight, and they fall off a building, and she's basically just like, yeah, sorry about that, for the most part. Then meets up with the tagger. She won the thing, and that's how that goes. The second one is her and Ben Urich, and she keeps saying Urich instead of Ben, and they're looking for these missing construction workers, and she found them, and he's like, come on up to my office. I think I have a good scotch bottle up there somewhere. She's like, no, thanks. I'll just make my report here. I'm really tired. And she's like, okay. So she starts talking to him about it and gives him, like, a giant folder of everything. She found them in a building where they're all hanging upside down in spider web. And you find out that the jackal's assistant turned himself into a giant man spider. They have a bit of a fight. That's actually really cool. And she kicks his ass. He ends up falling off the building. And Yurik's like, no, he fell off the building. He's like, it just happened? He slipped? She's like, yeah, sorry if that's not the best ending of your story, but that's how it happened. And then, she leaves, and she gets, you actually see what really happened. And she, while he's choking her, the Carnage symbiote comes out, because she's the current host of the Carnage symbiote, and it kicks him off the building, and that's how he died. And then she's, like, having a conversation with Carnage symbiote in her office, and is like, I'm the one in control and is like throwing shit around. It's pretty good. I really, really dug this. I think the art is fantastic. The writing was good. The first story was okay. The second story was great. I just really, really love this this character. I love everything that she's, anytime she's in something, I'll read it and at least give it a try. I like the last couple runs that she was in. She's one of my all-time favorite Marvel characters. In fact, I'll probably get a sketch of her done by somebody at some point in the next year and a half. And for the song, I'm gonna use Oh man, I had one and then I lost it.
That's what she
I
said.
think I'm I think I'm gonna use Alice Cooper's Venom for it, for because of her Venom blasts, and she's currently, dealing with the Carnage symbiote. But I mean, it's either that or Bad Girlfriend by Nickelback, because, that pretty much describes her in every way. So, but anyway, yeah, that's the books and stuffs. It is thundering and shit here again, so we should probably make this short because it's supposed to do this all night and I think tomorrow as well. So, I'm just lucky for really glad I got my grass mowed. So.
I got mine halfway done and I'm like, I was like, God damn it.
I went out there and went, I'm at least gonna get the front done, and then I'm like, fuck it, I'm just gonna get this done. So I did. There are a lot of other great books that came out this week. So make sure you guys check it out.
I was gonna say
Don't
a
forget
lot
this.
of indie stuff came out.
Yeah, a lot of great Ignition books coming out in the last couple weeks. Don't forget this weekend, starting tomorrow, is the 40 hours of 40 Cent Books at the warehouse. So at 4 o'clock, I will open those doors tomorrow and let you all in, and you can come in and hang out till midnight. Then we're gonna kick you out at midnight. You can come back at 8 a.m. and work and shop from 8 a.m. to midnight, both Saturday and Sunday. I'll be there for a little bit Sunday afternoon. It's gonna be a lot of fun. We're very excited to do that. So make sure you guys come out and check it out again. It's gonna
I was going
be
to
a
say,
blast.
I know a lot of guys that were excited.
Yeah.
Definitely, every time there's somebody in the dollar room at the mills, I was like, I'll make sure you're coming to the warehouse. I'm like, oh yeah, we're ready.
Yeah.
They're like, this is just pre-game as they're shopping in the mills. I'm like, okay. I was like, pre-game, go for it. I was like,
Yeah.
appreciate that.
Yeah. So, but it's a good time. All right, guys, that's pretty much all we got, and we'll see you next week. And yeah, have a good Labor Day. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. Oh, also remember, some of the stores' hours are different on Monday. Check our website for those hours. They are up right now. I know that Mills and Cranberry will both be closed. Everybody else is on different hours except for Ohio because the mall is stupid and makes them work all day. Everybody else will be shortened hours. So make sure you check that out at our website and have a good Labor Day, and we'll see you all next week.